how he is.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is a minute past the hour on this, the 11th day of the 11th month of 2016. The 11th day of November, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room and participate in the Madcap Multimedia Merry Zany Wacky real-time extravaganza that takes place during the hours that this program is live every Monday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. When you click on chat room at headonradionetwork.com and then you pick yourself out a screen name and a password, well, zounds, you will then be forthwith greeted by the joyful, the happy, the merry, the non-collaborating members of our little community, our happy band. Yes, and I'm heading there right now. Absolutely, I am. And let's see. Let me just pop over there and just kind of wander it. Come on, come on. While I'm young. Ah, okay. I'm not exactly young, but yeah. How about while I'm still ambulatory? Oh, by the way, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and it is Friday on the front porch on the Horn. Quick little program note, this will be a truncated version of Friday on the front porch. We will end the program round about 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time because I need to take the following hour to get everything set up because I'll be subbing for the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Malloy, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mike and Kathy and Molly are away, and consequently, I am more than happy to stand in, sit in, substitute, pick a word for what happens little nightly Malloy campfire. Yes, indeed. When you wander into the chat room, you'll be greeted by Anatole, Hoghead, Jug-a-Punch, Labor Man, Steve from Georgistan, VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. More will be along presently. A gentle reminder, we try to raise $200 every evening to keep this little network effort on the air. It goes into a whole bunch of bill paying, and there's a whole bunch of bills to be paid. And I'm happy to announce, as I did at the end of the program last night, there is a $100 challenge. A $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Mike and Cascadia this evening. So If we can raise in 2 hours $100, 10 at $10, 1 at $100, 2 at 50, 4 at 25, 20 at 5, 5 at 20, 3 at $33.33, if we can raise $100, then Mike in Cascadia will double your money, which is simply awesome. And thank you very kindly to Mike for making it easier for the community to keep this program on the air because, well, you know, we don't stop the program every 7 minutes to bring you 16 minutes of commercials because that's not how it works. So if you want to participate, if you want to help out, head on radionetwork.com. The tab is called Contribute. Click on that. And among other things, I want to make sure and thank our new subscriber. We have a brand new subscriber, and the way you do that is when you get to headonradionetwork.com and you click on Contribute, you see that little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation. You put the amount in, you finish out the stuff, you don't have to put down what, you know, where you work, who you work for, why you do it. Just get to the next screen, and that's where you make your PayPal versus credit card choice. Okay? And so, in point of fact, yes, we do have a brand new subscriber, and that's very good because this tonight is the end of Tracy's, the lady cab driver, Tracy's subscription challenge. She said there were she set up $10 or she set up 10 slots at $5 a piece for the next 10 new subscribers, and so that every new subscriber would get $5 added onto their first month's subscription. And so consequently, thanks go out very kindly to Brendan. Thank you, Brendan. Brendan in Oregon, thank you very kindly for helping to maintain no collaboration radio. Collaboration-free radio. I'd say resistance radio, but that's Malloy's thing. But it's going to be important for us to have a safe space to discuss things in the coming years of the nightmare that is Trump-merica. And that's spelled Trump-merica. Now, someone who is a citizen thereof, and I exclude from that you, me, you know, normal, decent human beings, but, you know, your Trump voters out there, they are Trump, just take this going forward, they are Trump-Mericlans, 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 yes. Just working on vocabulary here. But again, thank you very kindly to Brendan for becoming a subscriber. Thank you to all of our subscribers who help us keep the lights on and often make up, they fill in holes and gaps in fundraising. Thank you very, very kindly. So one and all, the whole Horn family community congregations, profound thanks. This evening, that includes Tony, who has been a contributor and a subscriber for a very long time. Tony in California. That includes John in Maryland. Thank you, John. Also part of the this group, yes, Mike in Cascadia, as well as our longtime buddy and my lawn mowing buddy, Dennis in Kentucky. Ralphs, thank you, Ralphs, very kindly. And so all of you, and I realized, and we'll get to the fun part of the program in a minute, or the outrageous part, or whatever part it is we're going to get to. You know how it goes with me and ciphering. But what I need to figure out, what we're going for in the long run, ultimately we need to have $400, or we need to have 400 $10 a month subscribers. And when that happens, I don't have to talk all this. All I have to do is say, hey, you know, become a subscriber. But when we get those 400, then we'll, all this fundraising bullshit that I hate to do will go away. Okay? So how many, what is it? There's an average of 20 broadcast days a month. So that, we need 400. So I guess we need 20 subscribers a day. Or maybe we could not, you know what? We don't have to use broadcast days. We can, okay, so divide 400 by 30. Oh, that's going to wind up with a weird number. I can't even contemplate it. But you know, that's how the subscription thing ultimately needs to work out. But just this evening, we need 10 at 10, 1 at 100, 2 at 50, 4 at 25, 5 at 20, yeah, to meet Mike and Cascadia's challenge. And I hope it will be met. If you prefer to participate via the United States Postal Service, send me an email, let me know so that I can tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout. And checks and money orders go to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-B 25801. And I'll tell Boss Man Wayne, he'll leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck and, oh, you know, just take a 9-foot spear with him, like, in case he runs into a Klansman or a Trumpanzee. I mean, they're kind of interchangeable now, aren't they? Because if you voted for Trump, you voted with the Klan. And that means, hey, you're under the sheets with the Klan. Right. Okay. Where do we go? Where do we start this evening? Well, first of all, a reminder. We will begin Friday on the front porch here in fairly short order. I don't want to do anybody out of the opportunity to engage in conversation this evening. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, the way you do that is you get on Skype, you send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunk, Sparky Dunk, and then you include a note saying, you know, Friday on the Front Porch, Horn, whatever, and Sparky will show you the breadcrumb trail that leads you to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Okay? Then for those who can't work Skype, there's always the stress line, 304-663-4676, and that's open to people who can't use Skype, don't have Skype available to them, only have a phone, things like that. Okay. Notes coming in. Steve in New York says, let's call Trump America what it is. It's the Fourth Reich. Das Vierte Reich. Yeah. Oh, no, I kind of want to make them. I want to make them own it, Steve. That's why we're going to call it Trump-merica. I mean, that Post, remember, that's how we refer to him. Post likes to stick his filthy little name on everything he gets near. So let's make him own this, too. And then, when Trump, and then once fascism has been defeated and destroyed, we'll go back to calling it the United States of America again. You remember that scene from Casablanca where Ilsa is getting ready to bug out on Rick, but he doesn't know it because he's a sap, and. Oh, what was it? No, it's afterward. Oh, I can't remember. It's been too long. I'll have to check it out. But he says something like, I remember the day perfectly. The Germans wore gray. You wore blue. And Ingrid Bergman says, ah, yes, I will wear that dress again when we have won. Well, when we've chased these nasty fascists away from out of the halls of power, we'll call it America again. Until then, it's Trump-merica. Just remember how to spell it. TrumpMerica. Okay? There's a lot of of course, every day brings a new horror. Note coming from Jude. She said, I lost my very breath when this title line presented itself. Donald Trump may choose Bush-era torture architect for CIA chief. I can see how that would kind of be breathtaking. Yeah, who are we talking about here? The story comes from Common Dreams. Jose Rodriguez. According to a report in The Intercept, cites Denton's, a law firm, where Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, is a consultant. They think he might. Yeah, Jose Rodriguez. He directed the National Clandestine Service and helped develop the CIA black sites, secret prisons operated in foreign countries where interrogators used a range of torture tactics, including the use of waterboarding, etc., etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what? Is John Negroponte busy? Is John Yoo going to step away from polluting the campus of UCal Berkeley and take a job in the Trump Klan administration? We can only wait and see. Mm-hmm. What else? I thought we might talk rather quickly, because I haven't completely had time to address. I mean, we're going to be a while processing all the evil and all the madness that comes with our country's descent into straight up fascism. But it is the 11th day of November. This is formally the day that is Veterans Day. Although I guess Monday is the Veterans Day holiday. But this day began to be a holiday because it was in the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918 when the armistice was signed, ending the war to end all wars. What a knee slapper. In the formulation of the peace following which were laid the toxic and virulent and hateful and bloody seeds of the next war, which would open up in about 20 years' time. But since then, it's become Veterans Day, so this is the day for recognizing everyone who served in America's military. And we do render honor and remembrance on this day. More people became veterans in the United States in the years between 1941 and 1946, 45, than ever became veterans at the same time in any other time period. Vietnam lasted longer. Afghanistan lasted longer than that. No draft for Afghanistan. But for me, the Second World War holds a special place in my heart, because it was the time when the United States stepped forward to do its part in the fight against global fascism. And in that fight, the American people understood that fascism did not have to merely be defeated, it had to be destroyed. Or at least destroyed for the time being. Ah, yeah, that's him. Thank you, Jason. That would be Jose Torquemada Rodriguez. Asa asks, what makes you think you're going to chase him out? He may become president for life. He may. Or he may be sitting there stuffing a great big gob of turkey down his filthy maw and suddenly clutch at his chest and not even make it to the inauguration, at which point in time I guess we'll be inaugurating that filthy fascist Mike Pence. Right? But there's no getting around the fact that we've got a fascism problem. And, of course, the fascism problem was exacerbated by a whole lot of people with a whole lot of low-information voters, mostly poorly educated, allegedly economically distressed white people who just happened to be members of the fucking Klan, who went to the polls to protest the elites. Yeah, okay. But of course, along the way, one of the big campaign selling points was, we're going to get rid of that there Obamacare, because that's communism and socialism and going to the doctorism. Now, along the way, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act provided financial props to lots of little rural health care clinics and rural hospitals that otherwise would be teetering on the brink of disaster. Yeah, that's true, Labor Man, that's true. They were going to stick it to the elites, so they voted for a billionaire. Yeah, but see, they had done seed him on your WWE, and they seen that time that he tackled Vince McMahon and started punching him repeatedly in the McMahon punkin. And that meant he was a fighter for freedom and fairness. Not really. There's a guy going into the White House who's had a career in wrestling. Oh, it's only extremely embarrassing now, isn't it? But no, they said they was going to get rid of that there Obamacare because that's your socialism. At the risk of being boring, I am simply going to share a few lines from an article that actually goes back a couple of weeks, October the 21st, 2016. Now remember, part of making America great again is making them little lazy-ass goddamn Keebler coal elves down under the ground get busy making more coal in West Virginia where there ain't much more. He's just going to have to make more. Oh, damn it. And Jim Kunta Kinte Justice, he's going to help. Coal mining families, writes... A letter writer from to the Beckley Fish Wrap. Coal mining families know that black lung has ruined the health and shortened the life of far too many coal miners. Many miners and their families may not know, however, that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, goddammit, contains two very important provisions that enable disabled miners and widows to obtain federal black lung benefits. And when Donald Trump says he will repeal Obamacare, those two provisions would be lost. The writer of this article is a man named John Klein. He's a lawyer. He says, I've represented disabled coal miners and widows struggling to obtain federal black lung benefits for nearly 25 years. And the loss of these two provisions would be a major setback for miners who are suffering from black lung and their widows. Yeah, but they'd have an extra double dose of Trump-Mariclan freedom. One provision is a legal presumption that miners with a totally disabling pulmonary impairment and 15 or more years exposure to coal mine dust qualify for benefits unless the coal company can prove that their pulmonary disability was caused by something other than the coal mine dust. The second provision ensures that widows will continue to receive survivor's benefits instead of losing both their husband and the black lung benefits at the same time and having to litigate the cause of their husband's death in hopes of getting their benefits restored. Yeah, but that Obama, he's a commie Kenyan Muslim, and we're going to be done with him. And even if we do, even if Trump does repeal Obamacare, it'll be Obama's fault when the black lung widders lose their black lung. Because he shouldn't have never have put them clauses in there with his secret Muslim Kenyan wizard powers. So, if Obamacare is repealed, 16 million Americans would lose their medical coverage. Young people, like, say, a 22-year-old kid working 3 part-time jobs to make ends meet, that kid's no longer covered. But that's okay, because you know what? There weren't even no black lung benefits for our great-grandpappies when they was getting black lung in the mines and a-dying. And they lived to... And I'm right... Yeah. They obviously didn't need no black lung benefits, really. Because all they had to do was produce my grandpappy, and all he had to do was live long enough before the black lung got him to produce my pappy, and my pappy just had to live long enough before the black lung got him to produce me. Merca, freedom! The greatest country on the history of the world, on earth, in the universe, now, today, forever. God bless Donald Trump. Don't you love the... Don't you just love the geniuses who ran out to make America great again? But seriously, when they repeal it, and widows literally lose their black lung benefits, and men who are coughing their lives literally out of their lungs lose their ability to get black lung or lose the black lung benefits they've already gotten, it will be Obama's fault. Because the blackness of Barack Obama is sufficient to cause all manner of disaster. And there will be no buyer's remorse for the Trumpanzees. No matter what he does to them. See, this is the lesson of Ray Gun. Ray Gun did harm to this country, which we are still trying to fully quantify. But just ask the average knuckle-breathing mouth-walker. Ronald Reagan was the greatest American president what we never done had. Ed. Just ask him, they'll tell you. And of course, they're aided and abetted by the likes of Chris Matthews over on NBC, who talks about the tingle that runs down his leg every time he thinks about old Tipper and old Ronnie taking off their suit jackets and rolling up their sleeves and deciding to get some work done by fucking my generation out of its Social Security, making us work a couple of extra years. Dear God, Merca, ain't it just something? Don in West Tennistan asks, must have missed it, do we even have a bright spot in this sorry election with a win for Dr. Bill? Sorry, no. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but no. It was hell among the yearlings here in West Virginia. About the only Democrat that got elected was, well, the guy who wasn't a Democrat at all anyway. And by that, I mean Jim Kunta Kinte Justice. Poor old Charlotte Pritt couldn't even stop him so that we could have Bill Colby governor of West Virginia. Among other things, they turned away they turned away a woman who had years and years of experience in the West Virginia Assessor's Office, who was the Democratic nominee for assessor, in favor of a Republican fixer and schmuck who had no experience whatsoever being assessor. But, you know, the Democrat was kind of, you know, black. So, I mean, you know, Trump-merca. We still got precious Natalie Tennant in the Secretary of State's office, I guess. We're stuck with a pill pusher in the Attorney General's office. Yeah, but no, that's the answer, Don. I'm sorry. I wish it were otherwise. And we've got $85 to go in meeting Mike in Cascadia's challenge for the evening. $85. $85 to go. What else? Well, you know, if you've been listening for the past couple of nights, you know that our dear friends Kim and Malin in New Jersey have been writing, talking about their fears for their marriage. There's probably not a married gay couple in the United States who really has any idea what the future holds. Bless his little heart. Senator Lindsey Graham, down there on the ancestral estates in South Carolina stand, known as Smoldering Chode. Lindsey has done called upon his maximum Trumpiness to appoint none other than Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future booger-eating king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long time, to the Supreme Court of the new United States of America. That's right. Lindsey wants Benito Cheeto to appoint a man that Benito Cheeto called Lion Ted to the Supreme Court of the new United States of America. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. And quick as he said that, he grabbed his mint julep, Lindsey did, and he called John McCain on the phone and said, "John, I'm so afraid." And he called him from underneath the fainting couch there in the drawing room of Smoldering Chode. I was wrong. Natalie Tennant, how about that? We don't have precious little Natalie Tennant to kick around anymore. Instead, it'll be Mac Warner in the Secretary of State's office. So, all you non-Trump Americans who enjoyed voting, fuck it. You ain't gonna get to do that no more. We got a Trumpanzee in the West Virginia Secretary of State's office. I forgot about that one. I done plumb forgot about it. Yep. The Repiglickens, the Trumpanzees, have complete control of West Virginia in every sense except the governor's office, and they've got that too because, well, Jim Kunta Kinte Justice is, in fact, a Trumpanzee. Randy says, I don't know what a chode is. Well, there are some things that are past my ability to educate on, Randy. You're just going to have to look it up, and it's not C-H-O-D-E, it's C-H-O-A-D. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Hey, what else? What I was saying about everybody in America worrying about, and you know, there are straight allies who are worried about the marriages of our gay brothers and sisters, our LGBTQ community siblings. And guess what? You may have heard it said somewhere by people who are trying to put a brave face on this brave new orange world,
Trump hasn't said anything. Trump don't care about no gay marriage and stuff. That's not what worries him.
Oops. Enter Ken Blackwell. Remember Ken Blackwell? Back in 2006, he ran for governor of Ohio stand and lost by 36 percentage points. I'm sorry, 34 percentage points. I mean, he got beat like he owed somebody money. So then he toddled off and became a senior feller with the Family Research Council. That's the outfit that's headed up by Tony Norman. Yes, Mother Bates Perkins. You remember Tony Perkins, the man whose home got flooded out in Louisiana, and he immediately ran out to praise God for sending that flood so that he could understand how good God was and, you know, sort of devil take the hindmost with everybody else who got flooded out and wasn't a multimillionaire leader of a white wing, tax-exempt money machine. Yeah, that Tony Perkins. Then he, Ken Blackwell, just sort of hung around the place until he thought he could be useful. And guess what? The Trump Klan administration thinks he can be useful now. Ken Blackwell is now the what are we calling him? He's the head of domestic policy for the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini transition team. No, really. Domestic policy head. Let's check in on something that Ken Blackwell said back in 2006, just so we can dispel this notion that Trump isn't going to be coming after the gay folk. In a newspaper interview Sunday, the Republican candidate for Ohio's governor, J. Kenneth Blackwell, no telling what the J stands for, compared gay people to arsonists and kleptomaniacs who can be changed. The religious conservative and current Secretary of State made the controversial remarks in a question-and-answer session with the Columbus Dispatch, Ohio's largest paper.
I think homosexuality is a lifestyle. It's a choice, and that lifestyle can be changed. Is homosexuality a sin, and can gays be cured? I think it is a transgression against God's law, God's will. The reality is, again, that I think we make choices all the time. And I think you make good choices and bad choices in terms of lifestyle. Our expectation is that one's genetic makeup might make one more inclined to be an arsonist or might make one more inclined to be a kleptomaniac. Do I think they can be changed? Yes.
So let's take that notion that Trump's not interested in anybody's gay marriages and, you know, not ever say that again anymore. Because he is. Because gay people are at hazard. In Trump-merica, they're at hazard just for being gay. You know, just sort of randomly beaten, randomly murdered, randomly tormented, tortured. But yes, their marriages are especially in the crosshairs of the Trump clan administration. Yeah, I know that's kind of sickening, isn't it? Number. The number is 98. What 98, Bob? Well, the number 98 is the number, and, you know, it's climbing, of documented news reports of attacks by Trumpanzees, gleeful, furious, hate-filled, ignorant, bloodthirsty, sick, disgusting, fascist Trumpanzees, against innocent people whose only crime is being someone that the Trumpanzees have decided they don't like. It's here. Fascism is here. For the time being, this is the last Veterans Day we will celebrate. Not under complete fascist rule. Just got a note from Tracy. So today my son was assaulted for being black. He was sitting in his car minding his own business, and a man walked up on him and called him a nigger and slugged him a couple of times in the jaw. He's fine. The police were called, and they caught the guy. He's fine. But if anyone tells me not to worry anymore, I will personally beat them like a red-haired, freckled-faced stepchild that stole something. It is official. I'm beyond terrified. Someone touched my son. Again, he's fine. But what about next time? Fuck all of you and your fucking protest vote and those worse yet who didn't vote at all. The blood of young black men and LGBTQ brothers and sisters and anyone else that doesn't fit into Trump's America is on your
hands. Jesus, I'm glad he's okay, Tracy. Tracy signs off, terrified in Encino, your loving friend Tracy, a.k.a. the lady cab driver. With 98 and counting attacks against innocent people by Trumpansies across this country, it is noteworthy that last night in Portland, Oregon, the cops there declared the anti-Trump protest a riot. Of course, that opened up the possibility that the cops could riot in turn against the protesters. Yeah. 98. And, you know, it's probably higher than that from stuff that wasn't reported. It just keeps... let's see. A boy in a middle school in Kansas City was taunted by his little by little Trumpansy children with a threat of deportation. Yeah. Isn't that just charming? Well, but see, it's you got to understand that all these people who voted for Trump were just economically insecure, poorly educated, middle American white people in the Rust Belt. And we just didn't understand them well enough, damn it. How about Greeley, Colorado? A young woman posted, I woke up today thinking school will still be fine and normal. When I got to school, I experienced tension in classrooms. I heard things like, you're still here, in the halls. And I experienced racism in my 8th block directly towards me and in front of my whole classroom. I've never felt so embarrassed and angry in my life. I haven't stopped crying since. It's not funny anymore. This kid laughed even after being removed, yelling, Trump 2016, build the wall, while walking through the office. I cry because these people think it's okay and funny. My school is full of diversity, and we were reminded this morning with the song, All We Need Is Love, and people's ignorance is still shocking, but I know who I am and where I came from, and nobody, I mean nobody, will ever take that away from me. Oh, one more thing. I'm not scared. We haven't heard about 99 since Herb Cain. Maybe this is what he meant with his 99 plan. How about Atlanta, Georgia? A woman writes, I'd like to share with you what happened to me this morning. I hope that it will put into perspective some of the fear people are feeling. I live in a fairly nice area in Sandy Springs, North Atlanta. As I was getting gas, a car pulled up behind mine. I looked his way, and he proceeded to yell, I'm so tired of you uppity fucking niggers. I made the mistake of confusingly saying, excuse me? As he was so kind, he did me the solid of saying, you heard me, I'm tired of you fucking uppity niggers. He then proceeded to speed off. Now, I don't know this man. I've never seen him, never spoken to or interacted with him. Yet somehow he felt totally justified in letting me know what he thought of me, even though he's never met me. This is where our fear is coming from. I've never been super concerned about Trump being president because I know despite what people think, one man can't change everything. Wrong, ma'am. Wrong. one man can't change everything, but one man and his millions of followers can take a once great nation and grind it into a filthy pulp in the cesspool of their goddamned racist, misogynistic, bigoted, xenophobic, homophobic politics. She continues, I have, however, been concerned with the rhetoric he seems to encourage and about how some of his followers have and would react based on it. This incident has only confirmed my concerns. People are pulling hijabs off of Muslim women's heads at Walmart. Kids are holding Trump signs in schools and yelling white power. People are telling the LGBTQ community that Trump is coming for them. American Latinos, whether they're Mexican or not, are being told to go back home even though they were born here. I myself have been told I should leave my country if I don't like it. These are actual incidents that happened. Two have happened to me personally in 2016. If this doesn't make you sad, especially as a Christian, you are a part of the problem. Well, ma'am, you need to understand, a whole bunch of those fascists who ran out, those Klans people, those Nazis, those skinheads, those white supremacists, those white separatists, those are Christians. Just like a certain nation once marched into battle with belt buckles that said, Gott mit uns, God with us. So that's Atlanta. How about Talibandiana, where a Trump supporter shouted at a black woman, Hey, nigger, pick that up. Keep my streets clean. Or Plano, Texas, where a group of boys tore off a girl's headgear. Sean King noted, where the hijabs are concerned, I know of at least 50 instances of this happening in the past 48 hours. Towson State University in Maryland. Woke up in a positive mood and my day was going great just to find out that two black boys who were in a class of mine were followed on campus yesterday by a few white guys and were repeatedly called niggers. The writer says, I have a few months left at Towson University, and I can honestly say that this college does not handle situations with minorities good at all. This won't bring me down, but you can't tell me after Trump got elected, some people are starting to get a little brave with their words. Latina mom witnessing white children chanting, build a wall, fifth grade children. Sean King is collecting these at Sean King, S-H-A-U-N-K-I-N-G, and his inbox has something like 3,000 plus emails of similar incidents taking place all around the country. Another woman, a nurse, wrote to Mr. King, wanted to share my story as I'm deeply saddened by this, but could you keep my identity hidden? I'm a nurse at a cardiology office, and I put a portable heart monitor on an Iranian Muslim woman who has been a citizen since 1986. They have wires that connect to a black box the size of a cell phone. She asked me if I had a letter or something she could have so people didn't think it was a bomb and kill her. She said she is more terrified to live here now than when she was a refugee in Iran. I cried and hugged her and told her the best I could do was to give her something with our letterhead on it. This is what Trump has brought upon us. Hanging effigies in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the home of the University of Alabama. Asian woman attacked by a man at a gas station in Napa Valley, California. The man screamed at her, We won, now get the fuck out of my country. B- by the way, we're nowhere near 99 in this. Nowhere near.
But we've only got a... we've only got an hour or so for Friday on the front porch, because I'll be filling in for Malloy at 9. Tracy's getting some love back. Heather writes in, just tuned in, heard about Tracy's son. I love listening to her. Tracy, I love you. Sylvia says, please let Tracy know how sorry I am for her and her son's experience. Hey, meanwhile, Marty's right. The deflection du jour for all of these incidents of Trump-Mera clan racism. Marty says, and as you can guess, there are those out there deflecting attention from these incidents by blaming the incidents on Clinton supporters trying to make the Post supporters look like haters. It's not like you actually have to work real hard at that. So let's fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. The stress line is open for you if you wish to participate that way, if you can't use Skype. And then, of course, the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Just send a contact request that says Friday on the front porch or the Horn or something on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc. He'll show you the breadcrumb trail, and we'll be off and running. And in the meantime, it would be great if we could meet Mike and Cascadia's $100 challenge. There's $85 to go on that. Thank you. Thank you very, very kindly. This is collaboration-free radio. This is the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Party hat and satin dress, silver paper cut in a long black hair.
But America's gratitude to our veterans is something elegant, always grounded.
Shoe and time.
Something greater than what you did on duty.
Oh, the
it's
way
also an appreciation
she
the
plays with them.
You continue to set an
smile at one and dance with another.
Example as
pretty such. Soon they're forming up a line. And she's laughing, laughing into 1939. Oh, laughing, laughing into 1939.
Sylvester Stallone's daughters just
oh, the party
made history.
Draws
the
Rocky
actors, three girls.
Breathes and moves to a life that's own. In its arms, it's gathering
Scarlet
all time. From the dark, he watches her moving in and out of the bobbing crowd. If she even notices, she gives no sign. And she's laughing, laughing into 1939. Oh, laughing, laughing into 1939. But tonight is New Year's Eve. Unclog your spirits and welcome it in.
We'll gets to be
who knows what it's got up its sleeve. Can't wait for it all to begin. Stand by the gun with a purple balloon. Look in her eyes, just lights up the room. In the corner of her smile, she'll be seeing you soon. Under a mistletoe moon.
Sorry about the autoplay audio in the background kind of ruining our bumper music. Have I mentioned lately just how much I thoroughly despise websites that make audio autoplay? Because I do. This is Friday on the Front Porch on the Horn. And we've got a good crowd in the Horn chat room. And we've got the beginnings of a good crowd. Well, it's a good crowd in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Let's go over and check in with Sparky in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. Today is the holiday, not Monday. You said Monday.
Do we not get a Monday? Are Monday holidays gone now?
Well, it falls on a Friday. When any holiday falls on a Friday or a Monday, it goes on that day, 3-day weekend.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Because no mail delivery today.
That's right.
I checked it a couple times, and it finally dawned on me, because it's Veterans Day.
So if it had fallen yesterday, the holiday would be Monday?
No, they'd probably make it Friday.
I thought we did the whole Monday holiday thing to bring a little bit of like standardization to the process.
No, I don't know. But all I know is there was no mail today.
Okay, so cool. Yeah.
And all the schools were closed here. Steve says no, and all the banks are closed.
Yeah, no banking today. Randy and PA just told me that. Well, you know, I did mark Veterans Day, and I did it by making a special point to remember when America knew how to fight against fascism instead of adopting it. You know how I did that? I went and watched video of the last time that Benito Mussolini was the center of attention. Up by the heels, motherfucker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a great thing. And
We won't hang our presidents, we'll just impeach him.
Oh, we're not going to impeach him either.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. Come on, Sparky, who's going to do that? The Republican House?
Yeah.
That's going to get everything they ever wanted from him? They're going to impeach him? I mean, Mike Pence is not universally loved in the House of Representatives.
Oh, I thought he was the number one conservative boy for him.
No, I mean, he's weird. They've worked with him. Trump will give them everything they wanted, and if he starts, as he said during the campaign, shooting people in the middle of Fifth Avenue, they'll give him they'll award him the Congressional Medal of Honor. And even if he was impeached, the Senate of the United States convict him? Please. I mean, no offense, but no, he's not going to be impeached. I saw where the guy who predicted his victory said, and he'll be impeached, and I thought, ha, 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 ha.
Well, I think no. I saw that same guy.
Alan Lichtman? Lightman?
I think it was him.
Yeah. No, there will be no impeachment.
No, Republicans don't do that to their own.
I mean, the last time they did it was Nixon, and they've regretted it ever since. And even if they were to think about it, the Washington Post would come out with an editorial saying, America can't stand a constitutional crisis. Because, see, they're afraid. Because the people who put Trump in office are the same people that have 300 million guns. And like I said months ago, nobody really knows how many Oath Keepers there are inside the United States military either. So, you know?
That's kind of scary.
Well, we don't know it about our cops. We don't know it about our military. There is reason to be decidedly concerned. I mean, there is no time for kumbaya. And, you know, I've just been trying to sort of lift people's spirits up a little bit by saying, look, you know, the dignity you have is to say, I will not collaborate with this regime. And that means whatever they do, they have to do it by themselves. You want to the Congress wants to pass a law, do it with not a single damned Democratic vote. Because once you vote with them, you've become a collaborator. And they would, you know, it's not like they're going to respect anybody for that. They're demanding it, not asking for it. They are demanding it. I mean, have you seen the news stories? We must come together. Or even, you know, Barack Obama saying yesterday that he wants Trump to succeed. Whoa, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of mind-blowing.
Well, I got some local news here.
Yeah?
Up in the city that I spent most of my life helped build, one of the high schools I worked on, Shasta High School up there, some kid was roaming the hallways passing out deportation notices to you thought were Mexican Americans or whatever. And this one gal that went on the video interview said, he come up to me and he handed that to me. And then he said, go back to Mexico. And she said, how can I go back there when I've never been there? And then it said the administration of the high school, you know, talked to the boy, and the boy thought it was a joke, thought it was a good joke or something like that.
So, yeah.
I just think there'll be a bunch of Trumpansie juniors in high schools all over the country doing shit like this pretty soon, you know. So we'll have the establishment of the Trump youth.
The Trumpen jungen.
Something.
The Trumpen kindern. Okay, well.
There's going to be battles going on if these protests continue. I watched the one in Denver last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what's his, or the guy in Denver, the Horn Family guy, Preston.
Yeah, Preston. We've got multiple members of the Horn Family in Denver, but yeah, Preston.
And posted a live video. This protest was pretty organized. This black guy had the megaphone. I guess he put it together. They had protest captains or whatever they call them. You know, they had the people with vests on and everything, so that, you know, they were organizing. And she basically said, everybody, they're at the Capitol. And she says, be peaceful. You'll see all live feeds all over Facebook Live now. Michael Moore did a live feed the other night when he was walking with the New York crowd.
And you know, I'm completely okay with the protest, but the only caveat I would add to it, Sparky, is that people need to make sure that they don't burn themselves out before the real struggle begins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a possibility. And, of course, now that we've had a few protests, the authorities have all the reason in the world for a crackdown the minute that he takes power. It's going to get really, really ugly Er. Let's now that we're so now that we got the going got the group going. Let's check in because he hadn't been here in a while. Let's check in with Ron. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Bob. Can you hear me?
5x5.
Oh, cool. By the way, you know what the big story is in Canada today?
This isn't it?
No. The big story in Canada today is that we lost Leonard Cohen.
Well, yes. But I don't think you lost him.
Well, not sure we ever really had him. But his universe would, you know, coalesce with ours occasionally. But, I mean, it's pretty much dominated the news.
Well, you know, he lived to a great age, and I mean, 82, and left behind a body of work that is absolutely stunning. I mean, the one song that more people know by him than any other is, what, Hallelujah?
Hallelujah, or Bird on a Wire, or Suzanne. But
well, Hallelujah had 70 versions.
Yeah. And the one that seems to be most popular after his, I'm saying that only because Asa might be listening, and Asa still prefers Leonard's version, but a singer by the name of Katie Lang did Hallelujah at the Vancouver Olympics. I think it was in 2010. Just blew me away. And it's always been my favorite version since then, but
no, most people probably know the Jeff Buckley version.
And I can't say I've ever heard it.
Just in terms of mainstreaming.
But, you know, it's big news up here. We lost a hero. So I put up a note that, you know, told him to rest in peace. You know, he had a voice that made Bob Dylan sound like a singer, but that he should have actually won the Nobel Prize. And a few of his fans seem to enjoy that. Yeah. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing a lot of assessing, Ron. It's weird for me because it's not like things are changing radically so far. It's just that going out and doing the things that I do every day don't feel like I'm doing the same things I'm doing every day, because now I'm doing it in Trump-merica. Or
it's exactly the same feeling you get, like, oh, you realize I'm in a foreign country. You know, it's that, you know, I've got to look around. I've got to stay alert. It's not the same as it was yesterday.
And you know, and I'm trying to balance it off against things that I've felt for a very long time. Because as I've said before, those of us who oppose mountaintop removal and oppose the depredations of the coal industry in Appalachia, we've been exiles in our own land for a very long time. And so we, you know, in many ways, and this is not to sound, I'm not trying to do any self-aggrandizement, but there might be things that we have that we can help others with shared experience. But then again, everybody who is under attack from the Trumpansies and from the incipient Trump administration, Ron, have some sort of similar experience. The only reason you would say go back to Africa to an African-American is because implicitly you don't think that even if their ancestors have been in this country longer than, you know, Cletus's have, that they have a legitimate right to be here. That being stolen, kidnapped, surviving the Middle Passage, all of that didn't confer anything. That was certainly a leading theory toward the end of the Civil War, when the Back to Africa movement was given its first big shot in the arm. You know, Abraham Lincoln was a proponent of that until Frederick Douglass told him, "I ain't going back to Africa. Africa's not my country." But the same, you know, the gay community has been put upon and tormented and tortured and denied essential basic, not just civil rights, but human rights and human decency. And so if you can drag, and this isn't kumbaya, but if you can drag a positive out of this, all of the threatened communities have a shared storehouse of wisdom and knowledge that they can bring to bear in battling back against the destruction of our country.
They also have a body of knowledge that simply deals with coping. How do you survive when you're trapped in a loop of hopeless optimism, but you don't expect anything to change? And there's a deep well of that to tap into as well. I guess my main concern is that Trump getting elected, despite the fact he didn't actually have the majority of the votes, is simply acting as a tripwire or an enabler to all those folks you described earlier in the show. And that's the one that concerns me, because I'm not quite 100% sure how law enforcement's going to react. I'm not quite sure how the military is going to react if they get an order from Trump or his cronies to keep the peace, by God, or I'll replace you with somebody who will. I'm not quite sure how the military is going to react. I'd like to think they would say, tell him with all due respect, sir, stuff it.
Let's address your I don't know how law enforcement's going to react question. I don't know if you saw this or not. But you may recall that back a couple of weeks ago, America's sheriff, David Clarkey of Milwaukee County, who has been mentioned as a possible Secretary of Homeland Security. Well, he said that... at the time that if the election's stolen, that people should go into the streets. In other words, if Trump didn't win. Well, with the sort of election of Trump, now a month ago he called on people to pick up pitchforks and torches. A couple of days ago, however, Ron, he said, these temper tantrums from those radical anarchists must be quelled. There is no legitimate reason to protest the will of the people. Even though, you know, he didn't gain the will of the people.
Now, the sheriff sounds like someone searching for power and respect.
Well, he's got outright adoration from the Trumpansies and dead-enders and ne'er-do-wells who tune into, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda.
And Fox has him on fairly often.
Oh, yeah.
In any event, I can't stick around for very long, but I really wanted to thank you for reposting my Veterans Day post from last night. I appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure. Like I told you, I read it. I read your dad's World War II diary with both awe and respect.
Yeah.
Those sort of first person accounts. There's not that too awfully many of them, and when you see one that's never been seen before, it just transports you.
But I'm beginning to understand where perhaps I got my sense of humor, because there were a couple of things in there that cracked me up. And one was, he was stuck in a village up in an attic with three guys, and then both of them got sent out. And if I remember correctly, he just found a quart bottle of cognac, drank same.
I saw that. And of course, that works, sighted sub, sank same.
Yeah. And the other one was talking about what it was like to be taking a crap and have some lady from France walk up and want to shake your hand. The folks back home wouldn't believe this. And I thought, I'm not sure how I'd react in that same situation. But it had to be an eye-opener for a 19-year-old kid from West Virginia.
Well, he had a hard time coming home, too, didn't he?
Yeah. Yep. Don't have many details, but bottom line is, yep. And he apparently didn't know how to raise hell. So, rock faces aren't especially forgiving. So,
Especially not to cars of that era.
No. And right now, my current effort is to track down why he got the Bronze Star. Don't know. Can't find out. All of the military records were burned up.
Oh, the St. Louis fire?
Yep. Yep. So I'm busy sending off birth certificates and attestations that I am his eldest son. And at least the Army kept the records of who got awarded what and when and why. So I should be able to track that down. But what I really wanted was a full copy of his service record. Where did he go? What was he trained in? Was he in England for a few months before he went into France? Who knows? It looks like that's probably all gone, but there's a really nice lady in the records arena that says she'll do everything she can through all the various agencies that might have some snippets of information to pull it together. And she really seems to be trying to help, so I'm optimistic that, I mean, when you finally realize that BSM that's on the standard veterans memorial marker stands for Bronze Star, you get interested. So,
yeah, because they don't just pass those. They don't just pass those out in the rations.
No, I suspect it had something to do with Bastogne or the Battle of the Bulge, but I'm not really sure.
And see, oddly enough, I've got a great uncle who died at Bastogne, and I went looking for his records, and I went looking for my uncle's records, and they were both lost in the St. Louis fire.
Yeah. Which burned for days.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that back then we had, you know, okay, we'll just put everything in one place and hope it doesn't catch fire. And it was frustrating because, you know, we've got anecdotal stuff about my uncle, like the fact that he would have survived his wounds had he had penicillin. But all of the penicillin had been diverted north to the forces moving west across northern Europe while he was in a diversionary invasion in southern Europe, in southern France.
Yeah.
And that's all we know.
I know anecdotally there was, apparently he told a story of when his friend was shot, that they ended up inside a burned out tank for several hours until the his own people could come in with tanks and pull him out. That was the guy that got his face shot off and died later. But that's got to be a fairly harrowing experience as well. And he just put it all down in two or three sentences, moved on. It was very interesting to understand
how he could write
that tersely. Yeah.
Yeah, and just for anybody who wants to know, you can go over to my Facebook page, Bob Kincaid on Facebook. And, you know, it's a personal page. It's not a celebrity page or a personality page. It's just my page.
Yeah, you're a celebrity.
But if you'll scroll down a little ways, you'll find the link to Ron's transcription of his dad's World War II diary, and it is really, really worth the read. So you've got to run off and work this Friday evening, Ron?
No, I've got to run off and do some stuff that needed to be done during the week to preserve peace and pulchritude.
Oh, domestic tranquility. This is a domestic tranquility exercise.
Absolutely, yeah. And
Just because you're in Canada doesn't mean y'all aren't interested in domestic tranquility.
Absolutely not.
promoting the general welfare, perhaps?
No, fixing a couple of things. Chores.
Oh, honeydew.
Sort of, yeah. There you go.
Okay.
And tomorrow, when it's supposed to get up to almost 35 degrees.
Now, damn it, wait a minute. You were playing golf 2 days ago. Will you stop with the climate change?
I played golf yesterday.
In 70, I'm sure.
No, it was about 57, 58 degrees. And, you know, I had a turtleneck on. It was fine. Tonight is supposed to get down 26, 28. But it's going to be back up to the mid-50s on Sunday and sunny, so maybe I'll do it again.
You know, I can. I realized with the dropping temperatures around here, I can live with the 50s and 60s, even the 40s.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. I'm at the point where I haven't surrendered yet and given up my Docksiders or put on socks.
Well, up here you'd be wearing shorts. I've seen guys in shorts yesterday playing golf, and because you had a toucan, but you know, it's very Canadian.
Well, I was going to say, you just wear those in Canada, don't you?
No, that's part of the myth and folklore we export to divert people from the truth.
Oh, another Canadian myth dispelled. Ron from the frozen north with Canadian Mythbusters. You might be interested because I didn't realize this. Michael in Madison points out. Oddly enough, Leonard Cohen actually died on Monday. They simply didn't announce it until yesterday. I had wrongly, Michael says, I had wrongly assumed that Cohen died of a broken heart. Perhaps I was right, though. Perhaps his heart broke presciently. He'll be missed. Democracy ain't coming to the USA.
I'm not quite sure what the last statement has to do with anything that preceded it.
But, well, democracy ain't coming to the USA is a reference to a song that a lot of people know by Leonard Cohen.
Okay. Well,
especially people on our side of the political fence.
I'm not sure that the U.S. has had a real democracy for a long time.
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, you know my position on that, Ron. I'm not sure that we ever have.
Well, I'd like to get rid of the Electoral College, but no Republican administration is ever going to do that.
Well, it seems always to inure to their benefit, so why would they?
And I don't want to piss off any of your listeners that might be from Florida, but I'm rooting for climate change in the sense that it'll drown that goddamn place, and that's cost us two elections. They gave us Bush, and now because he couldn't get their act together, they've given us Trump. I'm not a big fan of that state.
I can understand. But of course,
I'm sure
we have.
All the people are wonderful, but I think we should dig about a 5 mile wide ditch all along the border between Georgia and Florida, declare it an island, and sell it.
Cubans wouldn't have it.
Yeah. It's Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing real good, sir. You?
Good. Pretty good. Thanks. Hey, you know, I'm not so sure that we can just blame Florida.
There were other victims, but Florida's got a track record that goes back a long way.
Yeah, I mean, it's got 29 electoral votes that would have made a difference, but Hillary still would have had to have won some other states, too.
Agreed. But they did not carry their end of the bargain this time. Even if other people dropped the log as well, they screwed up again.
Well, I think we can thank James Comey for about a 2% drop in Hillary's vote. So that was the difference there, just that alone. Plus, people just didn't show up and didn't realize that this guy is a clear and present danger to not just democracy in America, but world peace. I'm convinced of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's so many people to blame. Comey gets his share. Everybody in the damn DNC gets their share.
Yeah.
She was a weak candidate. And just because she'd paid her dues and been with the company longer than anybody else didn't mean she deserved to be president.
You mean it wasn't her turn?
I'm not supposed to spit into the mic, but I'm not a happy camper, but I will say to this select group of folks who are listening at the moment, I strongly had to resist the urge to make a post of how good it was to wake up in the morning and find out that I'm Canadian.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Any good jobs for attorneys there, Ron?
there's something redundant about that entire state.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
I won't dig into it.
I mean, this whole election has made me think that, you know, last time during the reign of air of Bush, when he took power, I was with the government. Now I'm not. And I'd seriously thought about going into, like, civil rights law and representing some of the, you know, detainees at Guantanamo and that kind of thing. So I may actually look into that, you know.
I don't think you'll have any scarcity of clients.
Well, I would imagine that places like the Center for Constitutional Rights, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, the good progressive, you know, law firms, you might want to call them, or organizations will definitely be hiring, I would think, you know.
As will the NAACP.
Right. Southern Poverty Law Center probably has attorneys.
Yeah.
What about immigration law, Rick?
That's a possibility, but I mean, the way things are going, Sparky, I don't think they're going to deport them. I think they're going to put them in camps and concentrate them, and it's a lot quicker to kill them than it is to deport them.
There's another side to that. If they put them in concentration camps, they get to pay somebody to run those camps.
Right.
Well, there's another side to that, too. The Supreme Court ruling that permitted the internment of Japanese Americans has never, to this day, been officially and formally struck down by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It is effectively still the law of the land.
I'm sure Brown and Root would step up to build camps.
Tiger cages. Time out, because we've got so little time. I suspect that we might actually have Marty calling from California. Is that you, Marty? Marty, you're on. Stand by. All right, let's try this again. Are you there, Marty?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Gotten a little fainter, but you're there.
Yeah, well, you're hearing me through the board now.
Okay. How about everyone else?
Everybody, okay, sing out, somebody. Chime in.
We hear you.
Yeah, I can hear
him. A little low, if you could pot him up a bit, Bob.
Yeah, but it's a question of, can he hear you?
Faintly.
Okay. All right. Everybody gets a boost.
Nothing like a nice one-man operation.
Yeah, it's fun. So welcome to the group.
Hi, guys. Yeah, it's Veterans Day, and I'm off from work, which is why I'm here, which is how I can be here.
Yeah because usually, yeah, usually you're not.
The Irish senator who... kind of tore his government a new one over their tone over welcoming Trump, and he was saying, hey, America's elected a fascist.
Yeah, I saw that earlier, and that's actually kind of, it was kind of inspiring. If you'll stand by a minute, I've actually got I've got the audio here. Let's let everybody hear it.
The only way evil can prosper is for good men to do nothing. America has just elected a fascist. And the best thing that goes.
It's so good, it tastes great. It tastes so much better now that we're champ.
What in the hell? I've got, like I said, let me kill out a whole bunch of tabs here.
A bunch of tabs, a whole bunch of auto-playing ads.
I mean, well, it sounds, no, it doesn't sound like auto-playing ads, though. It sounds like, you know.
Another clip.
Yeah, it sounds like other clips.
Maybe the Trump Hansies are messing with your stream, Bob.
Sure. No. It's just some. I hate autoplay audio. I do. I despise it. And let's see. Okay, I've killed out a bunch. Let's see if it's still rolling. Okay, no. All right, let's get this from the beginning. Maybe. Oh, I hate this. It drives me crazy. Now what? All right, we may have it here in a second. But anyway, yeah, and a senator in Ireland, and this is in the Irish Senate. Thank you, Bob, from the Department of Redundancy Department. Lit right in to his fellows there. Let's see if I can bring it in. No, you won't hear it then. Ah, damn it. Well, what a lovely time to have this. Anyway, pick up the story and run with it, Marty.
Oh, basically what he did was he excoriated the government. There was a person, I forget the name he mentioned, but he wanted them to come in here, come into their body, and I don't know how they are going to, is it so important, money coming from the U.S., investment coming from the U.S., that they're going to sit back and not do anything, say anything about the U.S., as he calls the most powerful nation on the planet, electing a fascist to be president. It's Don Ross' story, which I presume is where you're trying to get to the play the thing. And I think it was very nicely said, and it's like I wish we had a few of him here in this country to be in the Senate.
Well, it remains to be seen. So far, everything's been kind of timid and tepid and conciliatory. You know, no one knows what to expect, Marty, and consequently, they don't know if maybe he'll just order them killed. Because he is. He's a fascist, and fascists do that.
They're still talking about, you know, I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton. I mean, I didn't decide to vote for her until last weekend. But the fact that they've got, what's his name, Chaffetz, still wanting to call her before the Congress and to try to see if they can put her in prison. I mean, this is the stuff that happens among more the oppressive regions, or with not regions, regimes, like what we put up in Chile after the coup against the Allende. Thank you once again, George Bush.
Well, thank you. And here's the funny part. I mentioned earlier in talking about Jose Rodriguez, I said, what, John Negroponte's busy? And immediately somebody posted in the chat room, wait, didn't he endorse Hillary? Well, yeah, he did. So, and you know, I was going to say thank you, Henry Kissinger, as far as Allende and Chile, who also, well, he didn't endorse her, but he said he was remaining neutral. Because, you know, Henry always waits to see whose flag he needs to run up the pole. Oh, and finally, I do have the audio. Let's take a minute and listen to it. Because it is good. Oh, God, this drives me crazy. Yeah, I had it. Honest to God, I did. Oh, someday we're going to set up a crowdfunding campaign and just all new machinery. Never mind. But this is a pain. But what will, you know, what will the, the rest of the world do? I mean, are because this goes to the whole idea of normalization. Anybody who treats Donald Trump like he's just another American president, as far as I'm concerned, has collaborated. And I'm very, very serious about no collaboration. Nothing, absolutely nothing to legitimize that god-awful man. Because the minute you do, well, therein lies the seeds of your own destruction. I don't know.
I don't know either. Anybody else?
Yeah. Well, hey, I see that Tracy just entered the room. Hey, Tracy, you okay?
Hey, Tracy.
I do still have the Skype group, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yes, Bob.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
So I spoke with Dave. Okay.
I just.
Somebody
talking?
He said
Rick.
Meg is different to whether or
not. I'll mute him. No problem.
So we agree.
There we go.
Yeah, Alex called me today. He said first he said, "Mom, come, don't get worried." That's, you know, he's like, "I'm waiting for the police." I'm like, you know, "Are you okay? What happened?" I'm thinking car accident. You know, that's first thing that came to my mind is that my son was in a car accident. This is somebody. I don't want my child to be a hashtag.
Jesus, no.
Interesting.
Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask that I don't want my baby to be a hashtag?
No, it's not. It's not too much to ask at all.
It just finally hit me. Because this happened earlier today, and it just really hit me. And I think it hit me the hardest when I'm getting all this. And thank you for all the outpouring of love. But it is official. I'm strong. Y'all know how strong I am. But somebody touched my child. Somebody laid their hands on my child just because he was black. The man called my son a nigga. And then he hit my child. I'm in California. Okay? I'm in California. Not that we're immune to this kind of hatred or bigotry or whatever, or violence, but I'm in California, and this, I was afforded a certain kind of safety net. I mean, I'm not naive by any shape, form, or fashion, but he was just minding his own business. And like in all these other young black men who have been hurt, who have been assaulted, and worse yet, killed. So that's why all, you know, whoever, I forget who it is that called in with his angry ass about, "I'm not going to vote for Hillary," and "fuck this." Fuck you. Okay? The shit got real. My son was assaulted. And you pious motherfuckers, you self-serving, selfish bastards that are sitting back, you know, "Oh, well, you know, if purity this and principles this, fuck the motherfucker you. How dare you? You know me, you know my child, you don't know my child, but he's mine. By extension of knowing me, you know him, you know my wife. How dare you, you smug bastards?" And you can send me all the hate mail you want. Bring it, bitches. Bring it. My child got hit just because he was a black man. Fuck you. You fucking pumpkin spice, pumpkin latte drinking motherfuckers. Fuck you. And your principles. Next time somebody comes, rolls, see how you feel when it's your child. Or your son, or your daughter, or your mom, or your uncle, or whoever, any extension of you and your family. See how you feel. And think about me. Think about every single assault that you talked about earlier. It was in 99 and counting. And those are the only ones that have been reported. The people who were brave enough, or yet alive, or you know, alive, or their bodies haven't been found yet. How about that? What about those people who will probably never be, because they're not being missed? What about those people?
You know, Tracy, a minute ago you said he wasn't doing anything. And I think that's important to bear in mind, because none of the people, none of the 99 and counting, have been doing anything other than simply living their lives. Kids show up, students show up at NYU and find Trump scrawled across the door of the Muslim Student Center. Okay? A girl in California is just walking along when she's when boys rip the hijab off of her head. Then there's, let's see, Royal Oak Middle School in Michigan, where there's a video showing, again, little kids, fifth graders, chanting, build a wall, build a wall, fifth graders.
Fifth grade.
Yeah, and then there's, let's see, there's a teacher who posted on social media that a little 10-year-old girl, well, they had to take her and call her parents to come and pick her up at school because a boy grabbed her by the vagina and said, if a president can do it, I can too.
See, they don't know what they've done, Bob. What is that?
Now, I understand, Donald goddamn Trump is responsible for each and every one of these acts, because he ran a campaign in which he encouraged it, he praised it, he lauded it, he bragged about grabbing them by the pussy. Are similar acts that are consequences of that conduct? What's the legal phrase? Rick, help me. Reasonably foreseeable?
Yes.
Oh, Rick's not here. Sorry. But God damn.
Did anybody hear about a story of a kid being murdered somewhere here today or something? Because Nicole Sandler earlier today mentioned that, and I've been looking for it and can't find it.
Here in California?
I don't think it was in California, but I don't think it was here in California. It was somewhere. Yeah, but the stuff that Tracy said, and Tracy, I really feel for you. I'd like to put my sister in front of you so you can rip her a new one, because she's a black woman who voted for Trump. Thanksgiving is going to be very entertaining.
Hey,
Mari, flies the bloody swastika in San Francisco.
And look, some of this stuff we just got to take in and process. 30% of Hispanics in the United States voted for Trump.
How many of them were the dark-skinned Hispanics who are working in the bloody field?
Well, they don't get to vote, but, you know.
Well, yeah, these are those light-skinned Hispanics, relative, you know, who can pass closely as white, who think because of the color of their skin, in fact, they're there and they've managed to make some money that they're better than anybody else here too.
Right, or the old pissed off anti-Castro Cubans in South Florida.
Yeah, correct. People, they will let vote.
How about, Tracy, one of the things that I remember you sharing, and you know, this has been wisdom that has been good for the community. I remember you talking a while back about being a little girl growing up and, not even having, a black baby doll to play with.
Pretty much. I mean, I didn't get a black doll until, because black dolls were ugly.
Well,
I didn't want a black doll. I wanted a blonde hair, blue eye black doll.
So there, right? So there, yeah. So there was a college campus outside Buffalo, New York, where they found a black baby doll hanging with a rope around its neck in an elevator. Then there's Wellsville, New York, where a swastika was painted with the words "Make America White Again." That was on a baseball dugout. the list goes on and on and on. It's begun. Make no mistake.
This is our version of Kristallnacht, apparently.
Well, it's the run-up.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten, you know, to the real, we haven't gotten to the real thing yet.
No, this is the prelude. That's after
the inauguration day.
This is, it will be either the night before or the night of January the 20th, 2017. That's when they'll take the bit in their teeth.
You know, it's gotten to the point. I'm not a violent person, but I also believe in self-defense. And, you know, I'm of a mind to, you know, take a self-defense course, maybe go buy a gun.
No, I'm taking Krav Maga.
What's that?
Krav Maga, the Israeli, what they teach the Israeli army.
Okay.
No, I'm not playing with these people. I am not going to let somebody lie. I'm not going to let somebody lie and wait for me. No.
I'm so sorry about your son. Jeez. He should do the same. He should take the same thing.
I think I'm going to sign up for a family plan.
Pick it together. Yeah. It's sad that it's come to that, but we have to defend ourselves. We have a right to self-defense, you know.
But let me put this out there. I am not going to let these sons of bitches take my common humanity away from me by making me go and buy a goddamn gun. I'm not going to do that. Because, you know, to do something like that would be to completely abnegate everything that we've argued on this program, namely that a gun ain't no help.
No, it isn't.
Awareness, hyper-awareness of situation and circumstance, surroundings, that's where it begins. And we live in a country now where if you are of a class that has been specifically and overtly threatened by the post, you don't go anywhere alone. You travel in groups. You protect each other. And I mean, in many ways, it's the same approach that is used that women use to try to protect themselves from rape.
No, I'm not going to carry it. I have too bad of my temper's too bad. Just dead bodies all over 405.
Hey, can I say something on the lighter side of things, maybe?
Please do.
Keep it positive, Duncan.
Yesterday, I was in the grocery store, and they were using up their plastic bags because the plastic bag proposition passed. So there will be no more plastic bags out there. So at least nobody can try and suffocate you with a plastic bag here in the near future, because there'll be few and far between.
You can lick
here, here.
And you can always lick through the brown paper bag.
Yeah.
Let me ask the California contingent, where do you come down on the secession movement?
I'm for it, Bob.
I don't know which one. Because I think the State of Jefferson thing will get cranked up again real, real loud.
I
saw two stickers yesterday on cars. And I mean, I've gone out before, and now if I start seeing them all over the place again.
They can have their little country. I don't care. We'll just have California all around them, Sparky.
Isn't our economy in California the fifth largest in the world?
Sixth.
Seventh, actually. Sixth, seventh. Seven, yeah, it's high.
We don't need y'all.
We don't.
We don't need y'all.
And if you add in Oregon and Washington and a big chunk of Nevada and maybe some of Arizona.
And now California has legal weed, boo, so fuck y'all.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, that, I believe, is the root of the problem. The blue states are where the jobs were. All the red states all went, or are really, the red states are almost in a depression for the poor half of the people, the poor 80% of the people. And they were desperate. And I said all along, if anything is going to happen, it's not the emails. It's the Trump being trusted more on NAFTA than Hillary. And all of these states that were devastated, just plant shutdown after plant shutdown for 20 years, they did not believe her when she said, after saying that TPP was the gold standard of trade, they were already bitter about Bill campaigning to knock out NAFTA and then signing it immediately.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we must have, when you're trying to solve any problem, you have to look at what are the bases? What are the foundations of resources I need to get the job done? Root causes of whatever prevents those things from happening. It all comes back to money. People only had $27 to give to Bernie, where other people were giving billions to through the super PACs and whatever. That comes down to cash. If the people don't have jobs, they don't have money to get in their cars and drive 90 miles to go see a candidate. They don't have money. They might not even have enough money to get across town to go to the grocery store. And if they don't have money to go across town to get to a grocery store, they don't have $50 to give to a candidate every month. It really comes down to economics. If the states that don't want to blue want to blame the people that are in the red states for it, the fact is the red states had no money to give to their candidates. They didn't have money to give to the presidential candidates. They didn't have money to give to the local candidates.
But you know what they do? You know what they do, Snork? They take federal tax dollars disproportionately from places like California and New York.
Absolutely.
And Minnesota.
Oh, that's true.
And so what the Confederacy is America's poor relations. I mean, I'm sitting in West Virginia.
There was a lot of states in the North that are tax deficit states that went red this time, and those were the states where all of the manufacturing jobs left. 95% of the manufacturing jobs left in the last 20 years, and these people have nothing. The town I'm at, there is a building downtown for sale. It has 6 apartments in it. It has retail space underneath it. On a 3-block section that has 40 businesses. Most of them are secondhand stored. Basically, what people put on the street to throw away, somebody goes around and puts it in their store and tries to sell. They can rent a store pretty cheap. There are only 3 stores that sell new items downtown. There are 3 banks, a grocery store and a dollar store. And a dollar store is basically where you go when you can't afford something that's decent enough to work. The people in these small towns are devastated. Oh, and the price of that building that has the 6 apartments. Somebody's got their mic open, or their speakers on or something.
It's Rick.
That building is selling for $14,000.
Oh, there's bargains out there, I guess. Before we have to knock off, I just want to share one more thing. This guy, no one is exempt. We've talked about Muslims, gay people, people of color, black people, being assaulted. Try this one on. I was just at the liquor store to get cigs, and a group of white guys asked me if I can speak English. When I chuckled and ignored them, they followed me into 7-Eleven and said chinks should get out of the country while we still can, because a more pure America is finally going to come back. When the 7-Eleven clerk asked them to leave, they started laughing and called him Bin Laden and said they'd come back to burn him on a cross. I told them to get the fuck out, and they were like, oh, wow, he speaks English. And they proceeded to follow me to my car, where they were yelling white power. Good old Simi Valley reminds me of the racist white kids in middle school and high school.
Hey, that's where the Rodney King officers were tried and acquitted, Bob. So that doesn't surprise me at all. That's right up their alley.
No, but there's
they're a bunch of racists there.
But the reason I mention this is that it should be borne in mind that, and wouldn't it be funny to hear people in Talabama bitch about California wanting to secede? Well, no, y'all gonna stay here and lived with the fucked up government we done elected. Sorry, sunshine. And no, you can't secede with us because then you'd have to be all liberal and shit like us. But no, there's a caveat here, and I think it sort of became a focus of our conversation this evening, and that is this. Trumpanzeeism is not limited to red states.
No, it certainly isn't, Bob. And I have something real quick. The funniest T-shirt at the Los Angeles protest a couple of nights ago was this. There was a young woman wearing a shirt that said, "This pussy grabs back," which I think is just great. I mean, I hate to use that word, but you know.
And one other thing for people who want to make some sort of symbolic gesture, Michael in Madison reminds me of something I read earlier. Subject line, safety pin. It may be a superficial gesture, I don't know, but I think I might take up the safety pin idea that I've seen circulating on social media and start wearing a safety pin every day, everywhere, on my chest or my lapel, to work, to everywhere. Not because I'm worried for my straight white male ass, but to quietly signal to anyone who may notice, any member of a targeted demographic, that I'm a safe person, an ally, and if they need help, if they feel threatened, I will help. I'm not saying that's all I plan to do, just the first thing. So you might look up the whole safety pin thing. Listen, it's 2 minutes past. I got to get out of here so I can get ready for Malloy at 9 o'clock. Thanks, Marty, for chiming in on your day away from the office. And thanks to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Thank you very kindly. I don't know. Let me ask real quick. Will the conversation continue like after Malloy?
Bob. But I got to move into the house from this computer. It's getting cold out here.
Okay, so you'll have to fold space, but it'll happen after 11. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Sparky. And thanks all of you for joining in this conversation. We still need to raise $85 to meet Mike and Cascadia's challenge. Listen, if we are going to have a safe space to carry on conversation and invite more people into this safe space for conversation, then we have to keep it on the air. And we can't have nights where we don't raise $200. And Mike and Cascadia made it easy tonight, and we still got $85 to go. So bear that in mind going forward. Maybe it'll happen overnight, and we won't have a hole to fill in come more in Monday. But thanks, everybody, and have a wonderful weekend. Thank you to all of you who make this program happen. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the conversation in whatever manner you choose. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night, y'all.